We're reading from Leviticus chapter 23. Today we come to the sixth of the holy days and the festivals of Israel that God commanded to them. And there are several different passages, but the main one is in Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The tenth day of the seventh month will be a day of atonement. It is a holy convocation for you, and you will afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work on that same day, because it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day will be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your dwellings. It will be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you will afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you will celebrate your Sabbath." If you listen intently and carefully, you will notice that the word atonement is used many times in our text. The word work is used a number of times in our text. And the word afflict is used several times in our text. And the word is of the word Sabbath or the word rest is used several times. And in a brief time here this morning, we obviously don't have time to delve into all the details of this, but if you're taking notes, write down Leviticus chapter 16. The whole chapter, it is a long chapter, goes into detail of all of the sacrifices and the worship and the services and the order and the pattern that was established by God for that day. But when we speak of atonement, the word in the Hebrew language is the word to cover. It is the very word that God used when he talked to Noah. And he said, "Build an ark and then cover it." In English, we use the word pitch or paint it with pitch or with black tar. But do you see the picture of Noah and his family entering into the ark and riding out the storm inside the ark? This is a picture of Jesus Christ, of the church, of us being in the ark of safety. Peter talks about that in his epistle. Last Sunday, we talked about the Day of Trumpets that occurred on the seventh month of the year, of their religious year. If you remember, their religious year began in the springtime with Passover. That was the first day of the year for Israel. So counting forward from there, this is the seventh month, and on the first day of the seventh month was the Feast of Trumpets, when the people would listen for the sound of the trumpet to know that the month had begun. And that was very important because on the 10th day of the month, we read today, began this particular special day, the most special day in the whole year for Israel. Because this is the year, or this is the day that the high priest, the most important priest chosen by God himself, would take the sacrifice of an animal and walk into the forbidden place. You say, "Well, why is it a forbidden place?" Because God commands and he says that you may enter into this place where I live, where I dwell, one time a year, and you will bring a sacrifice of blood for sin. But the reason I brought up the word atonement is the word is translated from the original languages as to cover. Sin in the Old Testament was covered with the blood of animals, symbolically speaking. When we come to the book of Hebrews, and we went through it a number of years ago in a verse-by-verse fashion, we read in several passages there about the one-time, eternally sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ, whose blood does not cover or atone our sins, but rather it forgives our sins. It cleanses our sins. It removes our sins. When God talks to the nation through Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, "I will establish a new covenant with you. I will take out your stony heart and give you a new heart. And I will cleanse you of your sin, and I will throw away your sins into the depths of the ocean, and I will forget your sin and remember it no more." And we don't have the time to go into all the details of this particular Day of Atonement here, so read chapter 16 of Leviticus and chapter 29 of Numbers at home, and it'll give you some detail here. But in a nutshell, first of all, the high priest, he needed to bring a sacrifice to the Lord for himself and for his family, and then secondly, for all the other priests that ministered there, and then thirdly, for the nation. As with many other things, the rabbis and the teachers and the scribes of Israel, they established ceremonies out of everything. Out of spiritual truths, they came up with outward symbolic things that the people could do. And you know, throughout Scripture, God talks about the difference between symbolic faith and real, genuine, born-again faith. You can have people come to church for many years and not be saved. And you can have somebody like the thief on the cross that repents and enters paradise to be forever with the Lord. And so the priest, he would bring a sacrifice for himself so that when he goes into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God, if you read through Exodus towards the end in the chapters 20 to 30 approximately, it describes what the priest would wear when he would walk into the Holy of Holies. One of the things he would wear was a breastplate that had on it 12 stones, and each stone represented one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And symbolically, the high priest stood between God and the people when he went into the Holy of Holies, when he went in through the veil, carrying the blood that he would sprinkle on the Ark of the Covenant that was inside the Holy of Holies. God said that if that high priest had any uncleanness or any sin, that God would kill him there in that holy place. And for this reason, on his robes, on the bottom of the robes, they would sew these little golden bells so that as the priest would walk behind the veil, although the people could not see him behind the veil, they could hear him ministering on their behalf to the Lord, sprinkling the blood of the animals on their behalf before God, and praying to God on their behalf as an advocate, as a lawyer, as an intermediary, so that God would forgive their sins. And as you read through chapter 16 of Leviticus particularly, great joy would come across the people when the high priest would finally come out of the holy place. He would come out alive. And what that meant is that God had accepted the sacrifice of the animal, and the sins for the previous year had been forgiven or covered or atoned for. The Greek word in the New Testament of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his blood is the word to reconcile, to pay the price. You see the difference between simply allowing the people to live another year to the next Day of Atonement, when the priest would go in again and represent the people. And in between every day of the year, the priest would bring sacrifices to the people, to the Lord, on behalf of the people for their sin. But on the Day of Atonement, all the sins of the people for the previous year had been covered. Hebrews teaches us that Jesus Christ, he entered into the holy place behind the veil. Remember, literally, physically, the veil when Jesus died was torn. It was opened up. And now as believers, we have open access into the very presence of God. And our advocate, the high priest, is Jesus Christ now, who brought the blood of his own blood into the presence of God to not only cover, but to reconcile our sins with God, to pay the price for our sins, not the price of an animal that could not cleanse us from our sins, Hebrews says. But with his own blood, he entered into the veil, and now we can enter by a living way. Jesus Christ lives today. We can enter into the presence of God and have fellowship with God, knowing that God will not destroy us on account of our sins, because we have been reconciled once and forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll pick up a little bit next time, a little bit more detail about the Day of Atonement and how it represents to us what will occur in the future day when Jesus Christ returns. And Paul writes to us in Romans that in that day all of Israel will be saved. In other words, when they look upon, Zechariah says, when they look upon the one that they have pierced, crucified, then they will believe. And that group, that remnant of Israel that believes, will be saved and will enter into the millennial kingdom of Christ, which represents, as far as the feasts go, the Feast of Tabernacles, where Israel would live in these temporary shelters in the presence of God. And we'll try to wrap up all these details next Sunday, Lord willing. Amen.